Oops, sorry.
I ran into the school guy.
Oh, may I have your attention, please?
Security was coming to me.
Our technician has asked that everybody turn off your cell phones. He explained that they put out frequencies that can sometimes interfere with the microphone.
Job search and placement assistance. We have job boards there that people can access. We do resumes. If you'll see, I gave you some flyers. We do foundational job search workshops each month and resume pro workshops, which have been hugely beneficial to job seekers. We also can refer people to other community programs and services that we need. We do orientation sessions. You also have a calendar that I've given you each month. We put out a monthly calendar of all of our services we offer at the Laughlin Library. And STEM exposure. And on the back of the calendar, it talks about STEM. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. So we want to make sure that people are exposed to those careers. Next slide, please. Now, if they're in need of more intensive services that require enrollment, we do things such as individual employment planning, and that's called an IEP. And for adults, and it's an ISS for youth. And that's simply case plan. That's mapping out a program for each individual so that we can connect them from where they're at to sustainable employment. And sometimes that can be through one-on-one career coaching, job readiness. Byron talked about work experiences. That's a lot of our youth participate in that. Occupational skills training. So maybe somebody needs training. Maybe they want to go to be a certified nursing assistant. So the grant would assess that, and if that's what they want to do, we can help use grant funds to provide that form. That's just one example. And on the job training, Byron spoke about that too. So those are opportunities that we can put as part of their case plan to connect them again from where they're at to sustainable employment. Next slide, please. So there is eligibility. We have an adult program and a youth program, 18 years or older for adults, 14 to 21 for in-school, and 16 to 24 for what we call out-of-school youth. Eligibility, these are some of the eligibility requirements. Authorized to work in the United States, Nevada, Laughlin resident, they have to live here. And we ask for documentation to document that. And registered for selective services. Mr. Henry, who's part of your board, is a veteran. And so I wanted to acknowledge that. That wasn't as part of my presentation, that veterans are a priority service. They get priority service of anyone who walks in. And I wanted to acknowledge that because veterans are a wonderful aspect of our community, and we want to make sure that they're serviced along with everybody else. And there are additional enrollment requirements that may be applicable. Really what I want to say is it's very individualized, and that's one of the things that I really enjoy about my job, is the individualized approach to each person that comes in. Because everybody's unique, like we all have a thumbprint, everybody comes with their own set of circumstances and barriers. And we want to be able to, I want to be able to identify those and connect them to the right plan for them. Next slide, please. These are just a few. I'm not going to go through all of them for time's sake. Youth services, we can do tutoring. We can do leadership development opportunities, supportive services, like bus passes, for example, if they're enrolled. Adult mentoring, follow-up services. One of the things that I do a lot is comprehensive guidance and counseling. I know, Stephanie, you had mentioned about, you know, we call it money management, really introducing kiddos you know, how to manage their money, you know, opening a checking account. We want to be able to do those kinds of things. Work readiness. I just did a work readiness training program this summer that I really thoroughly enjoyed. And it's introducing, you know, youngsters to employment, how to, you know, prepare for a job, how to work well with others, how to be subordinate to a supervisor, how to be on time, how to dress, those kinds of things. I've already done that this summer, and that was hugely successful and something I really enjoyed participating in. And entrepreneurial skills training. So those are a few of the services that we provide for youth. Next slide. Adult services. So we do a lot of resumes. That's probably, I would say, the fundamental service that we provide currently is a resume pro workshop. People come in, and you know, it's interesting. People come in and say, you know, I've just done this. It's just an entry level job. When I sit down and talk with them, and we display that in a professional resume, it's just amazing how their work skills just come to life. And it really validates the work ethic and what they've done, even if they think it's maybe a menial task. You know, to give them that professional edge, I think is super important. So that is something, and that's on your calendar too. You can see those services that we provide each and every month. We do career exploration. I'm going to do a funded foundational job search workshop. This is the first month I'm going to do that. I'm looking forward to that. I love helping people search for jobs. I do that every day. I love looking at job boards. It's exciting for me to find things for people to potentially be able to apply for. Assessment and the development of an IEP. I talked about that. The case plan. A lot of our career coaching with me. So people get to interact with me, and I love that. That's probably the favorite aspect of my job that I like. It's just really being able to interact with people and get to know them. I really like that a lot. Occupational skills training, OJT, supportive services. We work with veterans, voc rehab. I think Byron and Kennedy have alluded to that. We really want to develop our partnerships. And I know that Will came up and talked about the extension. So those are partnerships we would love to be able to develop. And, you know, getting to know the community, getting to know people who would be a worksite supervisor, for example, who would provide an OJT, who would provide a work experience. You know, we would love to partner with local banks. I actually asked a bank last Friday to come and maybe participate in doing our money management. So really getting involved in the community and asking everyone to get involved so that we can support this community to get everyone to work who wants to work and to develop those partnerships. So, and follow-up services. Next slide, please. So these are Nevada's key industry sectors, and so we look at those. We, you know, obviously here in Laughlin, it's tourism, we get it, gaming and entertainment, but not everybody wants to work in those fields. So we kind of look at all the different sectors, you know, all the different areas where people could find employment. Of course, we want to connect people with employers who are hiring. So a lot of that is tourism. But people come in and who are interested in medical, they're interested in maybe clean energy or information technology, computers. So we want to connect the dots for those folks. So we're aware of that, and we definitely do our labor and market research in those sectors as well. And the next slide, please. So these are our STEM events, the SMART events. It's on the back of your calendar. It talks about our events. I'm going to do one this month, programming and coding. It's really to introduce people to STEM. And I'm sure you've heard of STEM before, science, technology, engineering, and math. We want to be able to put confident, able people into those kinds of positions. And so we're really promoting that, and we're doing workshops each and every month that alludes to that. And so the SMART stands for the STEM materials, activities, resources, and training. So we want everyone to know that those items are available, those events are available through the Career Center at the Laughlin Library. Next slide, please. And so Kennedy and Byron talked a lot about business solutions. So we really want to develop a relationship with local businesses because they are the heart of employment. And so we are we call this the Big Five. My sheet there talks about recruiting, training, retention, rapid response. We want employers to understand why it would be beneficial to partner with us because of the services that we provide and that we can help with. And so, you know, we're new, and we're excited to be here. I'm excited to be here. And as I develop those relationships, I'm looking forward to, you know, the employment opportunities that will be available to the local community. And I think the last slide, next slide, please. Yeah, how's our information? So really, I'm literally inside the Let's Stop. It's a new era. So when people come in who have gone maybe for the winter, they're just starting to come back, they're like, when did you get here? So I'm literally right inside, right across from the checkout, and our offices are there. I'm there Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And I'm getting busier, so I ask people if, you know, we do the orientations to come to those to find out if it's a good fit. But I'm super friendly, and I really enjoy working with people and answering questions. And so I just want to thank you so much for allowing us to come and share our program with you. Is there any questions?
Any questions from the board?
Yeah, just one.
Go ahead, Sam.
The tutoring. Who does the tutoring?
That's another partnership we like to cultivate. So we want feedback. That's why we're here. We want to be able to offer.
So do you possibly think your juniors and seniors that need those community service hours, if you will?
Absolutely.
Scholarships, they could be a part of the tutoring?
Absolutely. And we want to cultivate that. I actually asked someone who was retired with a senior center, I believe I met that individual. And said, would you be interested? And he wasn't, for whatever reason. But those are things that we're talking about, is to contact us. And we want to cultivate those relationships. That's a great example of cultivating that. I mean, that would be fantastic.
Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, I just wanted to, entry-level positions. I'm getting ready to open a restaurant, so I'll be doing a large portion of hiring that I don't normally do.
Uh-huh.
So sending my director of operations to you to work with some of the youth, and a lot of my staff are over 50.
Absolutely.
Close to 20 years.
Absolutely. We have already partnered with a business here locally, the service companies. We want to be able to partner with you to help supply your staffing needs, to help meet your staffing needs. Byron alluded to that we do the screening process. So we have people come in to already get their resumes prepared. We even do interviewing, coaching, things like that, that I think are super helpful to businesses to already kind of, you know, share that burden with the employer. That would be great.
Okay, I have two questions. In Nevada's key industry sectors,
yes,
which three do you see as most applicable to law?
Well, definitely tourism, for sure. So health and medical, there's a need there. So we try to definitely, I look at that every day. There are specific things that I look for. And I would say... outside of that I've named, those are probably the two major ones. Maybe information technology, in terms of getting people, maybe not necessarily into the computer field, but definitely getting their computer skills. I can't think of a business. I don't care what industry you are working for. You have to have updated computer skills at some level, even if you're not doing anything related to that field. So I would say those three. But definitely, you know, tourism, the health and medical, and then the information technology.
Okay, and what is the budget for this operation?
You know, I didn't prepare any of that information, and that information would be through, I guess, my supervisor, so I'm not sure specifically what the protocol is for disclosing that information, to be honest with you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi. So as I said during my presentation, the entire budget for Workforce Connections is $28 million. And Respire Services got near $3 million to cover Las Vegas, Boulder City, and the Laughlin area. She has a contract for Laughlin for how many adults and youth? 25 adults and 25 adult and youth training and employment services that she has funded. But as I'm director of business engagement and communications, but if we were to go over that, then it's a possibility for her to modify her contract and get more money if necessary.
Thank you. Item number 6, planning and zoning, current zoning. Number 1, UC 059217, Edgewater Gaming LLC et al. Seeking a use permit for a gasoline station alternative fuel electric car charging station and a design review for proposed electric car charging stations in conjunction with an existing resort hotel, Edgewater in Colorado. On a portion of 39.7 acres in an H1 limited resort and apartment zone in the multiple use District 1 overlay located on the east side of Casino Drive, north and south of Bruce Woodbury Drive's alignment with Ben Laughlin. This is for possible action by us to go to the Board of County Commissioners on September the 6th. Would you please identify yourself and spell your last name?
Greg Stiles, S-T-I-L-E-S, minor name.
Would you please go ahead and make your presentation?
Sure. We are requesting to install 3 Tesla chargers, the Walmart mount chargers, at both properties that we own in Edgewater and Colorado. One of them would be at the garage, first floor. Just the wall mounted next to parking
Gina.
Space. The other two would be at the valet radio.
Can't hear.
Please
open the microphone up.
The charger is approximately 16 inches high by 6 inches wide by 3 inches deep and it's mounted wall.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. So we request to install 3 wall mount Tesla chargers that Tesla provided to the property for free. One would go to the Edgewater Garage, first floor. The other two would go to the Colorado Bell and Valley Radio. They're wall mount is 6 inches high, 6 inches wide, by approximately 4 inches deep.
Okay, and I know in your letter that both Tesla sent the chargers to us at no cost, and we would like to do our part in helping the environment. Promoting alternative fuel vehicles. The installation of the 3 chargers will not impact parking as it will go in front of existing parking spots and will not be exclusive to Tesla cars. Anything you'd like to add to that?
That's correct. Now, in the existing parking spaces, these Tesla chargers will go on the wall, and the ones at the valet waiting area at the bell would be handled by the valet staff. If someone comes in with a Tesla car and needs a charger, we'll put it in one of those spots available to them, but not available to any other car. And in the garage, at the Edgewater, the same thing happens. Customer comes in, the place to park the charger's parked. Maybe we've got to do the valet.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this item? We'll call for the pro speakers first. Second call for pro speakers. Seeing none, I will call for neutral speakers. Seeing none, I will call for con speakers. Second call, con speakers. Seeing none, I will close this public hearing. You have the right to rebut any statements. No, thank you. And I will now open this to questions from the board. Let's start with, on the left down here, Gina.
Hi. You know, Ashley, I think it's a great thing to have this availability. I don't know what your stats are as far as how many that you're anticipating. I mean, what would you say would be the percentage that would be using this type of...
I think out of our guests, more the car becomes more popular, you know, the model's going to come out. Maybe we'd hope to get 5%?
Right.
It's not much right now, but we think it's going to grow.
But in the future,
yes,
absolutely.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Will all guests be able to use it, or do they have to be a guest in Edgewater to cover it up?
Well, we prefer that the state will have the property use a car.
Well, what if they don't?
Well, we can't.
You can't charge their car?
You can't what?
They can't charge? They can't do it?
Well, someone pulls in there and the Aquarius and parks at the edge of the bell, walks across, I guess. You can't lose it.
Oh, okay. So they're not going to have to show room key or reservation?
No, they're open spots.
Okay.
So everybody can use it?
Yes.
Even the senior citizens with their golf carts. Kathy, do you have anything?
No.
Bruce?
No.
Thank you. Does anyone wish to make a motion?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve UC0592-17 pending staff recommendations.
I second. Thank you. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous? Congratulations. Conditions include pedestrian access along the Upland River Walk adjacent to the Colorado River, a minimum of 6 feet in width, shall be provided and maintained and shall not be enclosed, and shall be open and unobstructed at all times and shall allow for connection of open and unobstructed pedestrian movement to future development of the Upland River Walk on adjacent parcels. Applicant is advised that a substantial change in circumstances or regulations may warrant denial or added conditions to an extension of time. The extension of time may be denied if the project has not commenced or there has been no substantial work towards completion within the time specified, and this application must commence within 2 years of the approval date or it will expire. Clark County Water Reclamation District advises that the property is already connected to the sewer system and that if any existing plumbing fixtures are modified in the future, then additional capacity and connection fees will need to be addressed. Item number 7, general business. Number 1, approve a resolution taking a position of prohibiting the use of Laughlin's Colorado River water rights allocation for cooling purposes for any gas-fired generating facility on or adjacent to the 25 acres of the former Mojave Generation Station site. And we have, I'd like to read the resolution.
Support for both resolutions from the LDC
ROTC board. I wanted to let the board know that this was done with the concurrence and support of Senator Hardy, who reviewed both resolutions and indicated that he wanted me to express his support for these resolutions to the board. If you need that later in writing from the Senator, you can provide it. It's been a long meeting, I'll try to be quick, but I know I'm not known for that. I think everybody in the room attended a town hall meeting that Senator Hardy held after the 2015 session. It was basically short to identify, what the community would like to see at the power plant, and if there was going to be another generating facility in the gas fired unit, where they wanted to see it. As you recall, the plant site was sold in 1962. It was opened as coal burning plant in 1966. It operated for 40 years using 100% of the Nevada allocation of water, 24,000 acre feet. That's almost twice what Laughlin has. While it was generating, Nevada only received between 5.5% and 6% of the power that provided 100% of the water. Probably one of the worst deals the state ever did. And it created 350 jobs for the 40-year term. As we know, most of those jobs resided in Arizona. Now, obviously, this community has protected this 15,000 acre feet water allocation ferociously over the 40 years I've been here. We have spent, the biggest cost was an $86 million sewer treatment plant that permits us to take the water out on the north end of the bridge, put it into the system, treat it with sewage, and put it cleaner water back in the south end of the bridge. That's an extremely expensive, probably one of the most expensive tertiary treatment plants that any community in the Southwest has ever done. It cost this community $86 million. And at the time, I think we had 1,900 residents. So we've really come to the table to protect our water rights. Now, what my concern being the obvious concern, that we have a plant owner, LADWP, that's retaining 100 acres of a plant next to the Griffith transmission site on the power line. The only information we're receiving from the owners is that it will be used in the future at some unknown time for some unknown purpose for some generation of some unknown clean energy. I'm here to tell you there is no other intent on that 100 acres other than to place in the future a gas-fired generating facility in the middle of the plant. The use of our water would be used to cool it. Now, obviously, a gas-fired unit doesn't need the same degree of water for cooling as a coal-fired unit does. But I honestly feel, I think, that this community should make it very clear to both the existing owners and, even more importantly, we're talking to the potential new buyers of the plant. They've got this under the marketing yet, and I think we need a public statement reaffirming what Senator Hardy found in 2015, that we do not want some unknown buyer of all or a portion of the plant not to understand what this community's position has been and probably still is with respect to generation of either coal or gas-fired energy on the power plant site. With that said, the resolution really kind of indicates that if somebody's going to generate energy through a gas-fired unit inside the Laughlin community and use Laughlin water to do it, they damn well better make sure Laughlin gets that energy and it's not shipped to Los Angeles. To do anything other than that is an indirect just shipment of our water allocation
that we and our ratepayers are paying daily for, you know, sewer fees to get return flow credits. Now, I'd like to take each of these one at a time. Obviously, the use of portable water is item one. I think I've spoken enough on why I feel this way and why I feel Senator has felt this way, and would request that this resolution, if the board deems appropriate to pass one, be directed not only to the Board of County Commissioners, but to the trustees of Big Bend State Park, Big Bend Water District, also to the state engineer, and to our state, to one of our legislative representatives. The second issue.
Excuse me, we're going to do a lot of time. Anything else on that, on the waterway?
No, I think that's my comment.
Any questions from the board?
Yes. Mr. Chairman.
Correct.
So, a couple of questions. You had said, and I've never heard some of these figures before, you had said that there, when the plant was up and functioning, that it had utilized 24,000 of the acre feet of water, which is above and beyond our allocated 15,000. But if history serves me correctly, and I'm sure you would know, you've been here longer than I have and involved in the infrastructure and stuff, I was always under the impression that the power plant and everything went in before our allocation of water rights, and that there was different water that was utilized. Maybe it was for the slurry, and maybe I'm confusing that. And that there was the inlets, which I believe are the ones located next to the Harris property. And those inlets were what was utilized for the water for the power plant. Is that not the case? Are you talking that it's...
I think you're correct on part of it, and misunderstanding the other part. But
okay.
First, in 1962, obviously, there was no Big Bend Water District.
Right.
Obviously, there was no offering. I was off in township, but I think it was 30 people. The 24,000 acre feet came from the entire state allocation of 300,000 acre feet, and that was done at a state level by Governor Grant Sawyer when they sold him the land, when the land previously was owned by the Colorado River Commission, which that's the Fort Mojave development area. The entire plant was sold for $200,000. And included 24,000 acre feet of Nevada's entire allocation of 300,000. So it really didn't have anything to do, Kathy, with our allocation of 15,000 that came later.
Much later.
Right. And the night the plant closed in December of 2006, you can bet the state grabbed that in about 30 seconds after that closed. And that went back into the state allocation. Laughlin did not get any of that. Laughlin had already set aside its allocation at the time it closed in 2006. That would answer your question.
No, it actually didn't. I understand. But you're saying that the 24,000 acre feet that was used came from, it was before the allocation, but it continued beyond. I'm sorry. And where did they continue to get that water?
It was always in allocation from 1962 when they contracted, opened in 1966, and closed in 2006.
Okay.
That 24,000 acre feet from the state was always 100% from the state of Nevada, and we got very little power generated from that. It stayed in the state of Nevada.
Correct, but then later came our 15,000 allocated
feet,
but it wasn't affected by that because that was through the state allocation.
That was the state allocation out of the 300,000 acre feet.
Okay, so to encapsulate it, your concern in this resolution is that if this does go forward and there is a power facility put there, that they will try to utilize our acre feet of water for that.
There's no other place for them to get it other than our allocation.
What about the inlet? Is that still there? Is that still
there? That's just the point of diversion. That isn't the right to use the water. So the pump station is...
That doesn't go with that property?
No. That basically, you're talking about water rights, which is the point of diversion. The pump station you can get a point of diversion maneuver along the river, and to pull it out, it's the allocation that I would be concerned about.
Oh, it didn't go, it didn't come back to the property?
No, and the property will be sold now with no water rights. And there's the concern.
In other words, the property with
the 100 acre.
Not your property. Your property didn't convey water rights.
Any other questions from the board?
Did I answer?
Yes, I got it. I did.
Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll second it. First round, right?
Did you move second?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Stephanie, second by Gina, to adopt the resolution. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, motion is unanimous. Okay. Item number two, approve a resolution to deny any authorizations for the use of an electric generation for a natural gas coal-fired generating facility within the 2,500-acre site formerly Mojave Generating Station in Laughlin. I'll read the resolution. Resolution by the Town Advisory Board of Laughlin in support of the denial of any authorization for use of an electric generation for a natural gas or coal-fired generating facility within a 2,500-acre site of former Mojave Generating Station in Laughlin, Nevada. Whereas Laughlin citizens have illustrated their overwhelming opposition to any coal or gas-fired electricity generating station on the former Mojave Generation Station, consisting of 2,500 acres, because it lies in the middle of the community and is thus incompatible with any existing and future adjacent development. And whereas Laughlin citizens have indicated their support to locate any such gas-fired electricity generating facility in the Laughlin Southland, an area of land held by Clark County and Trust for the benefit of Laughlin, because they would be adjacent to and compatible with other planned solar electric power generation facilities. And whereas the Laughlin Town Advisory Board requests other government officials and agencies, in addition to the Clark County Board of Commissioners and the Clark County Planning Commission, and including U.S. Senator Dean Heller, U.S. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto, U.S. Congresswoman Jackie Rosen, State Senator Joseph B. Hardy, State Assembly Woman Melissa Woodbury, and the Nevada Public Utilities Commission to support this resolution. Now therefore, we, the Town Advisory Board of Laughlin, Nevada, do hereby resolve that any application for a special use permit or other zoning authorization to operate any coal or gas-fired electric generation facility within the 2,500 acres formerly known as the Mojave Generating Station site be denied. Mr. Elbrick.
Thank you. I'd like to refer now on this issue to the boards. These boards were prepared in response to Senator Hardy's town hall meeting, asking the community what they wanted done with the property. As you can see, Board 1 here indicates where they would like to see a gas-fired generating unit. Each one of these pins, and I had my staff religiously never let a pin fall out of these boards since 2015. And I have a feeling these pins may be used in the legislature somewhere in the future. Each pin represents a registered voter. If you remember at that meeting, we didn't just take everybody coming in at that town hall meeting. We asked for early registered voters to vote at this. Each pin represents a support for a certain site, for a location for a future gas fire generation. We only asked for gas. Obviously, we did not talk about solar or any renewables. You can see with seven voters that supported the M2 zoning, which is high intensity industrial that you need for the power plant. And I don't even want to count how many didn't want. We have two sites, potential sites down in Southland, right where the gas line comes across, that this community has already said, you know, we'll accept an application to review for a gas fire unit in the Southland area. Now, what does that mean to LADWP? It means they would have to join with NextEra, you know, interconnect to the Griffith station. Not a big cost, maybe $2.5 million of the overall cost of the project. And but from the Laughlin point of view, and from our Southland point of view, what it would require was that they bring their own water, again, because they're probably going to be shipping this out of state. And number two, we can benefit this entire Southland area, because whoever starts this generating facility is going to contribute to $7 million of water line going down to the facility from the Big Bend State Park where our portable water terminates right now. So that's the additional cost for prohibiting the gas fire project here, and the potential benefits of having a gas fire unit down by the gas line in Selma. The thing that really tipped Senator Harvey and myself and anybody who looked at it was LADWP's and the plan owner's refusal to reconsider M2 zoning on that site. That is nothing that is tantamount to we're going to put a gas fired unit there. So the resolution that we're looking at is basically one that would support what the community wanted, that was not high intensity M2 use for a gas fired unit, but a light meeting the light industrial project with residential in an urban village. Development plan. I mean, that's pretty much what the community wanted in 2005. I don't see, maybe we're going to like me if you see any major change in that. I would point out that a gas fired unit has very, very few permanent employees. Very few. My guess is this unit would probably have somewhere between 9 and 12 permanent employees. So it wouldn't be anywhere near the number of employees per January, as we saw in the coal fire project. I think everybody was all the board members at that meeting at that town hall meeting. Okay. Anyway, again, the representative on behalf of Senator Harvey, he supported this. And, I don't think it hampers, I think it helps the sale, the ultimate sale and development of the plant by making it very clear that this community does not want a gas fired unit in the middle of town any longer. We've endured 40 years of it, and no community in their right mind, even though this community grew up around the plant, no community in their right mind right now would ever accept a generation unit project in the middle of the city. It's just not conducive to it. What's occurred, it's, I think it'll damage the tax base. I don't think it'll raise any degree of sustainable jobs or economic development. And I think we're offering a better place. And we're not alone. We're not alone in what LADWP is doing. There's little pods like this sitting by switch stations in Idaho, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, all by LADWP. They have a whole external generation plan to ship in energy into California and work hard. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to. I'm kind of sad that somebody from Southern California is here already to be here.
Any questions from the board? Any comments from the board?
For discussion amongst the board.
Yes.
When that time comes.
Go ahead.
This is something that occurs to me. property owner nowhere near in the level that you are or Mr. Laughlin. But one of the things that when I purchase property, I consider what are my uses for that. And although personally, you're right, I don't want to see this in the middle of town. I would much rather see it down at the 9,000 acres. So that's one side of this for me. The other side is, as a property owner, Mr. Gilbray, you would never be told by anybody in a legislative capacity after you purchased a piece of property. You would not stand to have them change the rules and tell you what you can and can't do with it. And that's just kind of the nature of who we are and stuff. So I see both sides of this from, and I'm not saying that they have done us any favors because I don't believe that they have, but I can see their standpoint on it. We're basically legislating them out of this. And so me being a person that tries to balance and find a way to make concessions, to make stuff go forward, what I considered is, instead of the resolution, because we honestly don't know if this resolution will be binding and effective. It's still possible that regardless of the resolution, the county commission and stuff, they approve things that even though we've had our say. So it just occurred to me, and first it actually occurred to my husband, who I discussed it with him as far as, you know, his input dealing with this type of thing. And he had said, is there something that can be struck where we develop the Fort Mahoney Development Fund, and there is some very strict language and stuff around what the funds can be used, how they can be accessed, and things like that. Is there something, because we have no guarantee that a resolution is going to have the desired effect of stopping it from happening, but is there something that we can put in to effect, besides a resolution, that would basically say, if you do this, instead of the power coming to Laughlin, which I don't foresee that happening, a revenue stream, constant, continual revenue stream, based upon the purchase of that property, would come to Laughlin, which would make it somewhat prohibitive, but yet not really tell them what it is they can and cannot do with their land. And so this has occurred to me, instead of a resolution that is just drop dead, we don't endorse it. I don't personally endorse it, but there's a part of me, as a business owner, as a property owner, and as a person that's been put in this position here on the town board to protect the interests of Laughlin. How do we make this happen? Because this resolution may not have the desired effect.
If I might respond, Kathy,
this is a discussion among the board tonight.
Okay.
Does anyone see that viewpoint as well as me, or is it just...
Actually, all zoning is legislating uses, telling property owners what they can do with their property or can't do with their property. And I know that LA Water and Power deliberately kept the 100 acres out of the land sale, which tells me that they're dead set sometime in the future going to get a special use permit for the M2. And we do not want a fossil fuel generating station in the middle of town. You know, I wasn't here when all the smoke poured out of the 500-foot chimney, but I heard the horror stories. And having lived near a similar plant, I just, in the Page, in that little generating station, I did see the change in the air because I was there when they built it before they fired it up. Even if gas is cleaner, we still do not want it in that location. It's just not compatible with what we envision could be put in there.
I know, but the resolution doesn't stop it. So that's why I was looking if we can possibly table this for the time being and then put together a package of legislation, something that really has a chutzpah to stop it. In other words, if they do put in a coal fire, since we can't change that, if they do put in a coal fire or gas, then at that point, that revenue comes back to Laughlin for the sale of that power. And then that it would have no reason for them to do that because they would gain from it.
Mr. Chairman, can I have a comment, please? Please ask me the board make a comment.
Can you clarify something?
Yes. Of course. I think there's a difference between a zoning right and a special use permit right. Those power plants received a special use permit for the generation based on the M2 zoning. There's nothing that we can do here, nor should we do, to take away M2 zoning. What we're referring to here is when they closed that power plant in 2006, they lost the use permit. We're talking about any reopening would require both M2 zoning, which they already told us they are not releasing, and number two, that they would have to apply for a special use permit to reopen a gas-fired unit. And the purpose of this resolution is not to change or subject us to any type of taking property rights. They lost those property rights from that use permit when they closed that plant. What they're going to be coming back for is another special use permit, and I ask you this board and this to make it very clear to both the existing owners, the LADWP, and even to future owners that may be buying it, don't expect a special use permit support. The zoning issue, Kathy's exactly right. You can't have a taking like that. But the special use permit, that's something completely different. And they cannot do this under an M2 zone without a special use permit. Now, to the extent you want to change the resolution to state that, and I do think that's legal. I think what we're doing here is very legal. And I think it's almost honorable telling any potential buyers, this community does not want a gas-fired unit there, even though it may be zoned for it, that your chances of applying to this community for a special use permit to do it, which they will have to do, that there's no grandfather on a special use permit. And so that there's the difference is responding to Kathy, and I fully appreciate what your concerns are, and as a property owner, this looks like the Keogh case all over again, and I don't want a taking situation, but all we're putting everybody on notice is that, you know, this community does not want to issue that special use permit that would permit a gas-fired unit. I hope that's a big difference between taking the M2 zoning. I would never want to close that. So to the extent the resolution does that, that was surely what my intent was in bringing this matter forward to the board.
Thank you
for giving me time to talk.
Any other discussion? Floor is open for a motion.
I will make a motion to approve a resolution to deny any authorization for the use of an electric generation for a natural gas or coal fire generating facility within the 2,500-acre site, formerly Mojave Generating Station in Laughlin. Thank you.
I'll second.
May I make an amendment to that, to the resolution? All I'm just simply asking for, Gina, is approve a resolution to deny any authorization for a special use permit for an electrical generation or natural gas or coal fire generating facility.
So you're basically going to change the verbiage so they know the difference.
We're not going to accept a special use permit, which they will need. Just the same thing for me if I want to change my residential property to commercial. I've got the overlaying zoning. We did that with the land use plan, but I still have to come before this board. I still have to get a special use permit, that kind of thing.
So can we amend the resolution?
Just the resolution to read, instead of approve a resolution to deny any authorization for the use of an electrical generation or a natural gas or coal-fired facility, to read, approve a resolution to deny any authorization for a special use permit for an electrical generation or natural gas or coal fire facility.
So you're just adding the word fire.
Correct. Special use permit. It just, to me, it's clear because that tripped me up. And I think it would others for development.
Point of clarification. Are you just talking about the headline or are you talking about the actual resolve?
Yeah. In the headline, It's correct down at the bottom, I believe. Special use permit or other zoning authorization. Yeah, I think it's right back.
Okay, we have a motion to amend with the heading and to resolve heading with Henry denial of any authorization for use for a special use permit for an electric generation for a natural gas or coal fire generating facility within a 2,500 acre site of the former Mojave generating station in Laughlin, Nevada. The resolve would read any application for a special use permit to operate any gas or coal-fired electric generation facility within 2,500 acres formerly the Mojave generating station site being denied. Is there a second to the motion?
I second the motion.
Okay, we'll vote on the amendment first, and then on the amended motion. All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
That's unanimous. And so we've deleted for other zoning authorization from the resolve. Okay, now the motion then reads any application for a special use permit to operate any coal or gas fired electric generation facility within the 2,500 acres formerly the Mojave generating station site. Be denied. And then the heading would read denial of any authorization for use for a special use permit for an electric generation for a natural gas or coal fired generating facility within the 2,500 acre site of the former Mojave generating station in Laughlin, Nevada. All those in favor of the main motion say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous? Passes.
Thank you, Mr. Electric Commissioner.
Okay, one or two more items here. Section 8, comments by the general public. Period before the comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name, give an address, and please spell your last name for the record. And if more time is needed, the board or the chair can grant that. Second call. Third call. Seeing none. Our next meeting will be 1:30 p.m. Tuesday, September 12th, in this building. And item number 10 is adjourned. Is there a motion?
Yes,
please. Yes. I'm going to call Jim here.
Motion by Kathy, second by Bruce, and all of us.
Aye.
Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned at 4 p.m.
Should have lunch before this thing. I got to get food and go to the
do you miss me?
Yeah, where'd you be?
I'm well now. You're there a little bit of Boise for a week. Yeah, it was nice.